Matthew chapter number 8 tonight, Matthew chapter 8, I'm kind of following on the heels, I guess, a little bit of Brother Don and the revival messages, and I want to look at three measures of faith tonight. I read this chapter yesterday, and I don't know why it's never dawned on me before, but I began to see some things in this chapter that I hope and I pray will be a blessing to you tonight. Let's, for the sake of time, let's start reading tonight in verse number 5. Stand with me, please. Let's read verse 5 down through verse number 13. Then we're going to go through the entire chapter tonight, or at least the most of it. The Bible said, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. You know, when the Bible uses the little words there, beseeching him, I'm just reading scripture tonight. But I believe in this centurion's voice, you could hear an urgency. You could hear a compassion. You could actually hear, I believe in his voice, like, Lord, I believe you could do something about this. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we just need to stop and just wonder, what must he have sounded like? And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. I think as I've studied the Bible, there's two things that cause Jesus to marvel. One of them's right here. He marveled at this centurion's great faith. And then in another place, Jesus marveled at unbelief. Isn't that something? The two opposite ends of the spectrum. Jesus marveled at great faith. He marveled at unbelief. And Jesus heard it. He marveled. And he said to them that followed, excuse me, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This statement's important because I think Jesus would have thought, he came to the Jew first, that that's where he would find this kind of great faith. But rather he finds it in the life of a Gentile, a centurion, and it's not found in his own nation. And he said that, I say unto you, many will come from the east, the west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus, what Jesus is saying right there is just simply this. John said he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. What Jesus is telling them right here is this, just because you're a Jew don't mean you're going to get in. Just because you have Abraham to your father, you know what I mean? Remember in another place he said God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So he was telling them just because of their natural birth, that didn't mean they were going to get in. Amen. And so it's and you know what the Bible say about Abraham? Think about it. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So there were Jews that believed God, and there were Jews that didn't believe God. Amen. And the Bible said here, Jesus in verse 13 said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast what's that next word? Believed, so be it done unto thee." And the word of God said, "His servant was healed in the selfsame hour." There's some things here that I've learned that I want to share with you tonight. I'm going to go ahead and give you the outline. I want to look at great faith, I want to look at little faith, and I want to look at no faith. All are pictured right here in this chapter in the Word of God. You can be seated. Please pray for us. Father, thank you tonight for this precious old book. Thank you, Lord, tonight that our heart is pliable enough that you can still teach us. Lord, I've seen some things that I needed to see. I needed to understand. And Lord, being the pastor, I believe, Lord, you want our people to see, and you want us to understand together tonight as the family of God here at Bible Way. I pray, Father, tonight you'd help me to be clear in my speaking. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us tonight. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Let me just move on tonight. I'm not going to take a lot of time in each area, but I do want to get some things across tonight. The first thing I want you to see is this great faith in tormenting sickness. That's the way I titled it. It's a great faith in tormenting sickness. It's not only the sickness of the centurion's servant, but there's the sickness in verse number 1 through verse number 4, the leper. There's the sickness in verse number 14 down through verse number 18 pertaining to Peter's mother-in-law. And I think that the Catholic Church wants to make Peter the first pope. And I don't understand how come he got to have a wife and none of the rest of them do. Say amen. Anybody that would have a mother-in-law without having a wife is crazy. Amen. You'll get that after a while. Amen. But anyway, it says right here in verse number 14, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. I'll give you some things here tonight that I hope and I pray will be a blessing to you. In verse number 1 through verse number 4, we believe that leprosy is a type of sin. Now listen tonight. God has taught me something. God has taught this pastor something right here from the New Testament. I've looked at Isaiah chapter 53, the book of Isaiah, you know, where the Bible talks about by his stripes we are healed. We'll maybe read it a little bit later in the message. And I've always thought about that, and I'm being honest tonight, and I believe it's a dual application, but I've always thought about that as the healing of the soul, our sin sickness. You know, Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And when he said that, he wasn't speaking of the flu or cancer or leprosy or anything like we're seeing here, sick of the palsy. That paralyzing disease, that wasn't what he was speaking of when he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Remember he said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So that application in the Word of God is right. But let me show you what the Lord showed me here. Come turn down in verse 14. I've already read it. Look at verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with, I underlined this in my Bible, his word. Brother Kenny, that's what you were talking about a while ago. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let me say something. When Jesus spoke, he didn't speak as the Pharisees and as the Sadducees. The word of God said he spake as one having authority. Now I'll tell you something that'll help us tonight. If we'd realize this precious old book doesn't speak with a question mark, it speaks with an exclamation point. God speaks with authority. And when a preacher, I feel sorry for some people. I mean, listen, they're all the time getting in the pulpit and trying to apologize for what they're saying. Oh my goodness, God help us to grow a backbone and stand up straight and just tell the word of God like it is to people like they are and let the chips fall where they may. Amen. Jesus wasn't a politician. He didn't go around checking the air, see which way the wind's blowing. Neither did John the Baptist. They just laid her out there, buddy, like the word of God said to do. Amen. And listen, they spake as one having authority. But let's get to something here. Now watch this. His word, and the Bible said he healed all that were sick. How in the world I have missed this for these years, I don't know. I'm confessing to you, I don't know how I've missed this. Now listen tonight. You know tonight that there are organizations that form healing lines. And you know that there's a lot that's going on. Listen to me. That is F-A-K-E. I said it's fake. Are you listening to me? I was watching a program years ago, just interested in seeing what the mess was all about. And one of the things that really disturbed me is somebody got in the healing line that wasn't supposed to be in the healing line. And when they got up there, they said their problem was they were lost. And they stood that person off in the corner
while they kept hitting people in the head and people falling this way and people falling that way. Honey, I'll tell you, the most important order of business that day was that lady that said she is lost and needed to be saved by the grace of God. Or to shut everything else down. Jesus is coming, and tell that woman how to get saved. Amen. Nothing more important. But watch what the Bible said right here. We're talking about great faith. Look what the Bible said. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias, that's Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Friend of mine, you can say whatever you want to, but the Word of God is telling us right here, there's more than one application to the Lord Jesus shedding his blood that we might be healed. It's not only that we can be healed from our... Listen, it's not always God's will to heal. Y'all understand that, and you know that. But I'll tell you what I believe God needs to do in this preacher is just raise up some faith, amen, that say the God of heaven can still do it, amen, just like he did it back there in the Bible, amen. Listen, it's not in a man. It's not in a ministry. But I tell you what it is in the man Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, amen. And so he's telling us right here that it might be fulfilled. In the verse before that, he healed all that were sick. And you know, Brother Steve, God, he showed me something else right here. I've said for years, you know, you got all that healing going on in the book of Acts. You got it going on in the Gospels. The Jews required a sign. Amen. We understand that. Isn't that right? Say amen. But brother, this is a centurion and his servant. It's a Gentile that's being healed in this chapter. It's one of them. And I think God sometimes wants to help us to open our mind to realize that the God that made this body can touch this body and heal this body in the same word of authority that he did here in the Word of God. Amen. I think sometimes you can go off the deep end either way. Somebody help me. You can get off the deep end. Listen. On the physical, or get off the deep end on the spiritual side of things. But I believe there's a balance taught in the Word of God. Amen. And I believe the Lord, I believe it was over in 3 John, I could wish above all things that my children would prosper and be in good health. Now listen, that's not a health and wealth gospel. That's just Pastor John saying, I'd like for my people to be healthy. Amen. I'm praying for them to be healthy. I'm praying for God. Listen, when we pray, the Bible said if we don't ask in faith, then we're asking amiss. God said, don't be double-minded. Ask in faith. Nothing wavering, the Word of God said. I tell you, when God taught me this, I began to think immediately of Brother Mitchell. Anybody that knows anything about pancreatic cancer knows that normally it's a death sentence. And I'll tell you this, it might be unless God gets involved in the situation. Brother Mitchell said to me this morning, I believe everything's going to be all right. Well, listen, from the human side of things, amen, you'd say there ain't no way everything's going to be all right. But I tell you something right now, one touch of the Master's hand can make everything all right, amen. God's looking for some people with great faith that'll say, God, you're still God. We're little human beings down here and we got our problems and we can't solve them, amen. But I tell you, there's a God in heaven that can. I don't know about you tonight, but that stirred me up. I'm glad the Lord's still teaching me along the way. Amen. Listen tonight. I believe that God, listen, wants to do that. Amen. We know that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And I thank God for that tonight, for that truth in the Word of God. Now listen tonight. There's that great faith. There's a centurion here. He was a Gentile. And let me just say this to you tonight, too. Listen to me carefully. You say, well, Brother Rick, Brother Pastor, if Brother Mitchell just has that faith, then God might just heal him. Now listen to me tonight. If I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading it correctly, it wasn't the centurion's faith. I mean, it wasn't the servant's faith. It was the centurion's faith. Am I right about that? Now, when Jesus, that one was born of four, and they cut a hole in the roof, and they let him down. The Bible said, when he saw their faith. That's what the Word of God said, amen? I hope God's challenging your heart like he's challenging mine tonight, amen? We need some people to get a hold of God, believe God, and realize tonight that God is not limited. God can do whatever he wants to do. You know, tonight, there's a great faith. Three measures of faith taught here in the Word of God. Great faith is seen in the tormenting sickness in this chapter. The leprosy. The leper had to go down the other side and cry, unclean, unclean. I tell you what, I don't reckon I ever said that in my life before I was saved. I don't reckon I've ever said that in my life since I was saved. But I tell you what, my life was saying it, Brother Rose. For 27 years, my life was saying unclean, unclean. Amen. Things coming out of my mouth that had no business coming out of my mouth or anybody's mouth. Anybody with me tonight? Amen. And I tell you tonight, thank God, he saved me. I want to get to some interesting things here in a minute. Amen. Then the next thing you see is little faith. I see great faith in a tormenting sickness. And in the chapter, I see little faith in a terrible storm. Look in verse 23 with me, please. And the Bible said, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Kind of reminds me of the prayer that Peter prayed when he stepped out of the boat, amen, seeing the waves, he began to sink. He didn't fool around trying to impress anybody, did he? It was, Lord, save me, amen. He needed help. Watch now. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Let me just say this to you. I put myself right there a whole lot more than I do with that centurion. I really do. I'm not just saying that. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Why are you so fearful? Little faith. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Watch this now. How many believes that we are God's creation? Now, you know what the disciples are what they're doing, what they're exhibiting right here? They're saying, Lord, you can handle leprosy. You can handle the palsy. You can handle the fever. And you know, it ain't happened yet, but he's going to raise the dead. He's going to touch the lame. He's going to touch the blind. He's going to touch the deaf. All of us know that now. But we're saying, Lord, you can't do anything about the storm. Amen? You say, preacher, what do you mean? He said, little faith. In other words, they understood that Jesus was in the boat, but they didn't understand that they could get a hold of the God of heaven. So they went down in the boat and woke Jesus up, amen, because they were afraid that they would perish. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. Let me say something to you tonight. We don't need to pick on the disciples because the storms will make us fearful too. Amen. When the storms come, amen, listen to me, it'll make us fearful too. You say, preacher, why did they call it little faith? Well, I saw several things here in the Bible. Number one, they had faith to follow him. Thank God for people that have faith to follow him. You know, the Bible said here, and when they entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Isn't that good? Amen? Listen. If you have little faith, that'll cause you to follow Jesus. A lot of times, listen, in this generation, we think somebody's got great faith if they'll follow Jesus. Listen, Jesus said they've got little faith, but little faith will cause you to follow Jesus. Amen? Watch this. Little faith will cause you to come to Jesus. Look at verse 25. And his disciples came to him and awoke him. I like that. You say, I think sometimes, beloved, listen there. We think we're up here when we're not up here in our faith. Amen? Just a little faith will cause you to follow Jesus. Just a little faith will cause you to come to Jesus. Just a little faith will cause you to call on Jesus. Amen? That's what the Word of God said here. Watch this now. They said, they came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Just a little faith will cause you to come to Jesus. Tonight, I believe with all of my heart. The Bible talks about growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart tonight what God's trying to say through the message tonight is that all of us could ask God to increase our faith. Ask us to get to a place where we don't just have little faith, but to get to a place. You know, I believe the Apostle Paul and I believe Silas, I believe they had great faith. When they whooped them, they're bleeding from their backs, and they're in the prison, they're in the stocks. The Word of God said, I've been to some of those places hewn out in the rock and those dungeons. Sometimes there was a sewer running through under your feet. Sometimes it was just damp and water running through under your feet. It was dark. It was damp. It was a dreaded place to be. Amen. Prison today is a good place to be compared to what those men were. But listen, their faith was in God. The object of their faith was God. And they were worshiping. They were praising God. They were praying. They counted it a joy that they were worthy to suffer for his name's sake down there in that prison. Amen. And so the storm, beloved, listen, it doesn't make our faith. It just reveals our faith. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe with all of my heart, it's not the storm that makes us. It's the storm that reveals us. And here the storm revealed the disciples had little faith. There was power over the demons. There was power in this chapter over the disease. We'll get to the demons here in a minute. There's power. But listen, they didn't understand, beloved, listen, that the God of heaven could be approached. Amen. They go down and they get Jesus, and he said, oh, ye of little faith. He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. The Bible said they were fearful, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Beloved, listen, let me give you the last thing tonight. There's great faith in the chapter, in that tormenting sickness. There's little faith in the terrible storm, but there's no faith in a trustworthy Savior that's pictured right here in the chapter. Let me show it to you tonight. When he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. I haven't been able to marry this up. I can't find a whole lot about it. But you know, if you go over to Mark chapter number 5, it doesn't say anything about two. It says there's one. I'm not sure about this. And when I'm not sure about something, I know the problem's not the Word of God. I do know that. But let me tell you what I think might be going on. And the Lord gave me this afternoon, going back and studying this again. How many remembers when the Lord healed 10 lepers? Remember that? Jesus said it like this. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? And he said this, where are the 9? Do you remember that? So I think it's I think it's entirely possible right here that 2 lepers were cleansed. And one of them is the one that returned. I'm going to show you all this in a minute. I think that's entirely possible. I will not be dogmatic about it, but there's 2 mentioned here. There's 1 mentioned in the book of Mark, and we'll go to the scripture, and I'll show you in a minute, and I think that might be what's going on. Amen. In other words, Jesus cleansed all 10 of them, but only one returned and gave glory to God. That's what the Bible said. And the Bible said this. I just remember this. And he was a Samaritan. Remember that? In other words, he wasn't a Jew. He was one of them half-breeds that the Jews hated. And beloved, listen, he's the one that showed back up at the feet of Jesus to give him thanks for what he had done in his heart and in his life. Watch this now. The Bible said here, there met 2 possessed with the devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You know what that tells you? Listen to me carefully tonight. I was preaching on judgment that's coming on the world this morning. The demons know it's coming. They know their time is coming. That's what the Word of God's teaching right here. And they said, are you come to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him. That's plural. There's a bunch of devils in them pigs. Saying, if thou cast us out, a bunch of devils in those men's fixing to go in the pigs. If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. What they did was totally against nature. Let me tell you something right now. Demons will cause people to do things that are totally against nature. Amen? Watch this now. And the word of God said here, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, you're going to talk about no faith. Don't it? Listen, if you had two guys like this, you remember in the other text in the book of Mark, they cut themselves. They couldn't be bound with fetters. They'd break the chains. They were wild people. If you had two that were healed and were no longer that way, don't you think the city should rejoice? Watch what happens. The whole city came out, the word of God said. Watch this. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. I cannot imagine that. But that's exactly what the word of God said. Now let me tell you something right now. They were upset. You know why? They thought more of their pigs than they did these two people. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Let me tell you something, beloved. There's people in the country that we live in that think more of their puppy dog than they do a sinner lost and undone. There's more money spent on dog food in America than ever has been spent on missions. They cared more about their possessions than they cared about the people. They loved the swine more than they loved the souls of men. There's no faith. No faith wants Jesus to depart. No faith always results in great fear. Look with me at Luke 8:37 real quickly. I want you to see something right here. Luke 8:37. The Bible said here, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went back, he went up into the ship and returned back again. He left. You want Jesus to leave you alone? You know what he'll do? He'll leave you alone. No faith. No faith. How sad tonight. It's interesting tonight. I want you to go with me over to Mark chapter 5 for just a minute. I think this is just things that the Lord taught me in studying this chapter this time. In Mark chapter number 5, in verse 18 through verse number 20, I'll show you truth right here and we'll be done. You remember the maniac of Gadara, the story starts in verse number 1 in Mark chapter 5, but I want to key in on verse 18 through verse number 20. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now here he is. There's one of them right here pictured. It says, Jesus, I know you're leaving, and I know they want you to leave. Anybody listening? But I want to go with you. How many believes that's a fair enough request? I'm going to tell you something right now. If Jesus come to Kingsport, he delivered me from what he delivered these men from, and all of Kingsport told him to go away, I'd want to go with him too. But God spoke to my heart, Brother Steve. I want you to see the heart of the Savior right here. He tells this man, go home. Oh, my friend, Brother Brian, you've mentioned it often in our visitation. It comes up. You just mentioned it. It must have been something God impressed on your heart. If you can't win them, leave a door open. Don't offend the people. You know, we tried to teach our folks that. Don't get in such a mess, so to speak, that nobody else. And Jesus is almost, I believe in what he's saying, Brother Steve, saying, hey, they didn't want me, but let's give them another chance, son. Go home. Tell them. And you know, I got a little bit concerned about this whole thing because it said he goes back to Decapolis. Do you see that right there? Well, Decapolis is a region. I had to study it out. Gadara is just one of the cities in the whole region. And so I thought, well, where's the difference between what I just say? Decapolis, I was going to say Annapolis, that's Maryland. What's the difference between Decapolis and Gadara? Listen, Gadara is one of the 10 major cities in that province, so to speak. So when he tells him to go home, he's telling him, go right back where I found you, son, and tell your friends how great things the Lord have done for thee. Chew. I don't know about you tonight. But when I see the heart of the Savior in that right there, the Bible said he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But even though I rejected him over and over and over again, he still sent somebody my way to tell me that Jesus loved me, that Jesus could forgive me. That blessed my heart. Go home. How does it say it there? He said, and Jesus suffered him not. He said, go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. You see, I just want to say this. The years that I was in prison, I told the men this, Brother Wayne. I tried to teach them. I said, don't go home talking, because there ain't nobody listening. In other words, what you are when you get out of prison is an ex-con. That's what you are. But I said, if you would just do this, go home walking. Go home walking with God. On Sunday morning, get up and go to the house of God. On Saturday night, don't you be in them dives you used to be in on Saturday night. When somebody says, hey, come on, say, no, I got to get into bed early. Sunday school's at 10 o'clock. And I said, it ain't going to be about 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month. And I said, one of your friends is going to pull you off and say, what happened to you? I said, now you can open your mouth and tell them what Jesus has done for you. But you know what? This man could go home talking. You don't really want to know why? Because he's the same one they're afraid of. Amen. Now he's clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and in his right mind. Amen. He could go home. Listen, he had a testimony for God, and God said, listen, I want you to go home and tell your friends how great things. Listen to me tonight. Everybody can do that. How many of y'all are saved by the grace of God? Heaven bound with the hammer down. Listen, that woman that got saved at the well, she never had a course in soul winning. She just went back and said, come see a man that told me all things ever that I've done. It's not this the Christ. Beloved, listen. If you can't tell somebody what Jesus has done for you, it might be because he ain't done nothing for you. I was in Wise County for years, 5.5 years, I believe. And my treasurer in Wise County, one Wednesday night, we was going to read a verse of Scripture. I think I read from Psalms. We're going to take up an offering. We're going to the funeral home. Just going to have a very, very abbreviated service. And he come running down the altar, or come running down the aisle. He said, wait a minute, brother, wait a minute, like that, waving his hand. I said, Brother Ron, what is it? He said, I'm not saved. He said, I got to get saved. He went as far as he could go. I found out later I'd given some stupid illustration. And there was a man over there. He's in heaven now. He died with cancer, Brother Wayne Dale. I told an illustration about Brother Wayne. He had three of them great old big bass. How many of y'all like the bass fish? Amen. And some of you just sitting on your hands and lying. But anyway, he had three of them great old, I'm talking about 10-pound plus bass. And he'd tell me, Brother Ralph, how he caught them things. He said, I like to get me a shiner about that long. He said, big bait, catch a big fish. That's what he said. I wish Brother Gary Musselman was here tonight. He'd enjoy this. He said, I throw it out there. He said, when one gets it, he said, I don't set the hook. He said, I want him to swallow that thing plumb down to his belly. He said, because I don't want him to get off on me. And he'd tell me them stories about them fish and where he was at and what he was doing, whether it was night, whether it was day, and I'm yawning. It didn't mean a thing to me. You want to know why? I wasn't there. I hadn't experienced that. I'd tell him about turkey hunting. getting down between two rocks. You just got to sound like a pretty girl, amen. And here comes them big toms looking for that pretty girl. A tom is a male turkey. Amen. Some of y'all just don't know the lingo, do you? Amen. I'd tell them stories, and man, I tell you, that about twice the length of the gun, 34 pellets, Brother Jim, in his head, not a shot in his wattles. That's close, ain't it, Brother Jim? Amen. That's close. I'd tell them stories. Want to know why? He wasn't there. And I made the statement that day preaching 2 weeks before this man got saved. I said, the reason some of you never tell anything, you wasn't there. And nothing happened. And God took a stupid story like that, Brother Rose, and that man got under conviction. He understood then why he never mentioned Jesus to anybody, because he had never met him. I tell you, he's one of the most humble men you'd ever meet in your life. I love him to death. I'm going to tell you something tonight, friend. It ain't about this or that or having 10 verses memorized or half of a book memorized. It's about just being able to tell somebody how you met Jesus, how he forgave you, how he cleaned you up, how that you know when you lay your head down at night, if you don't wake up, it's okay. You'll be in heaven with him, amen. Ain't that a blessing tonight, amen. Ain't that a blessing? I tell you, Jesus said, I never had caught that before. Had any of you all? Amen. The same outfit that said, get out of here. Depart from our coast. Jesus, that one that he changed, he said, you go back. You'll be a missionary to them people. Wouldn't it be interesting in heaven to see how many of them people changed their mind? How many of them people through the years, Brother Ralph, said, you know what? He could do that for that old maniac. You know something, we all know when we don't have peace, don't we? And we know, hallelujah, when we do have peace. Amen. We know that tonight. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. I appreciate you coming tonight. See if you can help me name them tonight. What three faces are pictured in here? First one is great faith. The second one is little faith. And the third one is no faith. Amen. How sad to die with no faith. Amen. If we're in that little faith crowd tonight, let's ask God. You know, Brother Steve, you work at the Eastman, and Brother David, and there's others, no doubt. Brother Danny, you work at the Eastman too, don't you, brother? You don't? Okay. Oh, not now? Is that what you said? Oh, are you retired from the Eastman? I didn't know you was old enough to retire, brother. Amen. Been drinking that pickle juice. Amen. Anyway, but you know, if you have a company, you have a corporation, somebody has to tell somebody, and somebody has to tell somebody, and somebody has to tell somebody. And Jesus, he met a man, that centurion, that understood that there's authority and that, Jesus, you don't have to come down to my house. As a matter of fact, I ain't even worthy that you come down to my house. If you just speak the word, it'll be done. I believe Jesus can still speak the word. How many believes that tonight? Amen. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me something from your word. I pray, Lord, you'll continue to help us to grow. Lord, pretty evident that those Gadarenes and perhaps even the whole region of Decapolis, Lord, you sending that man back. He probably went from town to town, city to city, house to house. Lord, I believe it was hard for people to believe the change that you made in that man's life. Lord, sometimes the change is very evident on the outside. Lord, it's always very evident on the inside. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us tonight. Help us, Lord, as we leave here to go home, tell our friends how great things the Lord hath done for us tonight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you, Lord, that according to the Bible, you're coming for us. And Lord, we thank you tonight that you taught us a little bit more about what was meant when you said,
by his stripes you're healed. Thank you, Father, that you are interested tonight in healing not just the soul, but healing the body. And Lord, we pray tonight for Brother Mitchell. God, we know it's out of man's hands. But Lord, we know it's not out of your hands. He's in your hands. God, we pray and ask you to touch him tonight. Touch his sweet wife. Lord Jesus, in the garden. Lord, some may think it's just a scapegoat, but you told us in John, 1 John 5, to pray according to your will. And Lord, you set the example for us when you said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Lord, you didn't stop there. You said, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Lord, thy will be done in our hearts and in our lives tonight. Help us to be soul conscious this week, not to only be thinking about the substance, the things of this world, but the souls of men and the things that are out of this world. In Jesus' name. I'm just glad you come tonight.